So you'll see the teachers are required in all cases of
some of you perhaps do not know that this is Master Kirpal Singh's third world tour. Came in 1955, again in 1963, 9 years ago. Master is only 79. If he keeps this easy pace up, I'm sure he'll be back again. We're so happy to have him. The love that he gives to all of us, we just try to return in our small way. Master, we present our minds, our hearts, and souls to you tonight.
Dear brothers and sisters, yesterday's talk, it was on spirituality, what it is. It was explained that it is no spiritism, no spiritualism, no hypnotism, and no mesmerism. Moreover, it is no, what should I say, isn't of any region, outer forms. So it was God is spirit. We came to the conclusion that God is spirit and we are spirited man. As God is eternal, we are also eternal. So spirituality is only to know oneself by rising above body consciousness and by self-analysis and to know God. This is purely a subject of self-analysis. So you'll see the teachers are required in all cases of pursuits, inner or outer, who are adept in those subjects. Even when the child is born, his teachers are his parents, his brothers and sisters. When they go to school, they've got their teachers there. When they take up any outer subject, we need the guidance of somebody who is adept in that subject. Take the case of cooking. The cookbook is there, which gives details of how vegetables are cooked. We need the practical guidance of some cook. In his guidance, we become also good cooks. Take the example of aeroplane. Their books are written how the several parts of the aeroplane are, how to assemble them, and how to work on them. By reading only books, you won't be able to do it. But you know even not the what parts are meant for what purpose. There also you need somebody who knows what is aeroplane is, what different parts are meant for what purpose. And then you are trained under his guidance till you have to rise up into the atmosphere. I have last time you were traveling about 35,000 feet high. So can you give that plane in the hand of somebody, new one? Or can you do it? Know yourself how the aeroplane works, how to rise, go up, how to descend. So this is something practical. Similarly, the spirituality is a practical subject. We have got scriptures with us. What do they contain? They contain the statements of those who rose above body consciousness, traversed into the beyond. They had different experiences of different kinds. They contain all experience they had. All masters, whenever they came, and this is by reading scriptures only, can you know how to rise above body consciousness? That is only a physical thing. Here we have got macrocosm in the microcosm. We have got physical body, how we can rise above physical body, how we can traverse into the astral plane and further to the causal plane, how to transcend all planes. Do you think only by reading scriptures you will become an adept in that? That is rising into heavens outside, and that is rising into the beyond. So you find, if we need somebody, when we need teachers in all outer subjects, do we not need anyone's guidance, which is a subject, when you rise above body consciousness? First of all, did you hear how to rise above body consciousness? Yogis have spent hundreds of years to rise above body consciousness. Is there some adept like that who can give you a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness? And even not, that is not only. If you know that much also, is that sufficient? Maulana Rumi says, is a more dangerous inside rather than outside. Take somebody who has been to that place. He gives that if you want to pay a visit to the place of pilgrimage, it is always better to take some guide with you who may have been to that place of pilgrimage. Who that may be, he says, he may be a Hindu, he may be Arab, anybody. So in the spiritual way, we do need somebody which should be able to give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, I'll say. Then how to traverse in, which way to follow. Here in outer world, you see, if you lose one road, you have to go round and round and cannot come to the right place. So my purpose is, all scriptures say there is need of somebody. These all scriptures which are with us, what do they contain? Only go on reading, can by reading alone you can have that experience what is given in these scriptures. So without it, two guides, call him by any name you like now. And without, did you see the driver is there and motor is there, I mean the, what, the petrol is not there? Then. So both ways require. What is way back to actually God? God, when he wanted to be managed, there was vibration. The vibration resulted in two things, light and sun. So if you have a ray of the sun, if you catch it and ride on it, that will take you where? To the place from where it emanated, to the absolute God. So proper guidance also required, of course. But there's something to ride on which can take you to that ultimate goal. So Master tells us, unless you have some guidance of the adept who traverses into the beyond, his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with that power working through him. He appears to be engaged in all outer pursuits, but wherever he wants, he rises above body, conscious, and traverses into the beyond at his own will and pleasure. This is what is called by the masters to be reborn. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. So first step is how to rise above body consciousness. We have identified with the body. So there are methods and methods which involve pranas and our faculties and sometimes intellect by drug influences. But under your water, practical demonstration by somebody who is adept that way, then you know how to rise above body consciousness. So we do need, Guru Nanak said, you may be reading for years and years, months and days, all through life, unless you know how to rise above body consciousness and open inner eye to see the light of God. What is use of reading? Tulsi says, you may read the four Vedas, 18 Puranas, 9 Vyakarans, and 6 Shastras. You may be reading day and night and annotating on that, giving very wonderful lectures on that. Could you know who you are? You are a tent. Your drop of all attention was gone. And unless you know yourself, withdraw yourself from the body and outward environments, and you are brought in contact with the God into expression power, which is God Shabd Nam, our word, which has two aspects, light and sound. So it is just reading all these books, just parrot-like, go on repeating. Of course, this has some value. These are good actions meant for God. But seeing is something else, reading is something. Reading only can create a new interest. We should go and see. So mere reading alone won't help you. So this is the way to fool those who are innocent. You may be intellectual very much. From all degrees of the world. I submit to you, when I was at Lahore, under me one Christian superintendent working under me, he was a librarian of the Lahore church, whose bishop was considered to be the highest in all, I mean, most advanced in all India. I asked the superintendent, go and ask him what this bell ringing stands for. And what did he reply? It is only to call men together. Well, in churches you go like that, but in temples you go, the man who had to hear rings the bell. So learned man is not supposed to know everything. This is something of the beyond. Outer learning can help us to a certain extent to understand certain things. To a certain extent, not all. But it is a practical. When the world's last with us, their religion starts. Religion means leaving back, lead you to back. How to first withdraw ourselves from the body outside and environments and know ourselves, and then come in contact with the God into expression power. So this is what is called spirituality or religion, what you say. Social bodies are different from that. So we have find, you see, in Matthew, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. What does that mean? Apparently, O Lord, I am thankful, very grateful to you that you have kept this great wisdom away from the worldly wise and intellectual people, and reveal the secret only to those who are innocent as it is given. That is why Christ said, suffer little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we have to innocent, become innocent first, with love for all, with enmity to nobody. So for that all masters said, without a guide, true guide, within you cannot have any access whatsoever. Guru Nanak said, it was a mandate, was a mandate from God, unless you meet someone who is the master, you see, who is world made flesh, you cannot reach him and you cannot be have salvation. Then, well, all of y'all people, then don't be in this delusion that you'll go off your own self. So, Master, when they come with it, and saying, all right, who want going back to home, let them come up. who speaks that the God is in him. So all the scriptures, whether the East or the West, when you go into it, they all say, we need somebody to take us. The very step how to be down from outside. Yogis have taken hundreds of years to rise above physical body. And if somebody, with God's grace, comes up and gives you a demonstration of how to rise above body in little or no time, then what more you want? So it is said it is a great blessing to have a living master. That is why you see, come unto me all that ye labor, Christ said. When they come, they say, come unto me. Because they speak on the strength of God in them. They don't speak of themselves. They speak as inspired by God. They are quite conscious co-worker of the divine plan. And see, and are heavily laden, and I will give thee rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when all masters who come, they are world made flesh, they give out the same thing to the people who meet them in their lifetime. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And he that seeketh me, seeth me him that sent me. So I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As I quoted you before from the East, so many, all shapes, common things. Guru word means who can remove the darkness from before your eyes and light is manifest. When God wanted to have the world creation, then there was light. And that light is in each one of us. That's why I said, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. Master come say, Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. So it is a feat of our attention, you see. Training of the attention. You are attention. It is you who unknew the world. It is you when your attention outside the world is before you. When you will drop, there is no one. So great is man, you see. So masters have been coming from time to time. And you now say, those who have had the man body and not met the two masters, even if he has met the two masters and he is not living up to his commandments, and what it is, then he says, they are never born. They have not derived the full benefit from the man body. Buddha Chavali went to his master. He says, I have wasted all my life in doing outward things and not God. To God, when I only had it when I met my master. So before meeting a master, all our life is as if it were lost. So for that reason, you see, it is necessary we need somebody who is expert on the way. So now we want to see what is a master. Master is, you see, Guru Nanak was asked, who is your master? He said, Shabad is my guru, master. And my attention is his disciple. What the word Shabd means? God is a Shabd. When it came into expression, it is called Shabd. And Shabdi is the God into expression power, which is the maker of whole universe, controller of the universe, of all universe, and permeating all universe. So God is wordless, when it came into being, it is called world. In the beginning was the world. World was with God, and world was God. And all creation came into being after the world. And what a master, world made flesh. God is nameless. When it came into expression, it's called Nam. And Nam is the creator of all universe. That resides in all. It resides in the very man body. We can see when we rise up to that level. He is the subtlest of the subtlest. If we rise up to that level, our eyes will open, we will see him. Kabir was asked, who is you, Master Guru? And where are you? He said, my Guru lives above the eye level. And I am in the body. So Guru brought my attention, my soul into contact with God into expression. Now I am always with him and he is in me. Exactly the same words given in other languages to show what they feel. So Bible says, word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I am quoting you parallel things only to bring home that the basic teachings of all masters have been the same, whether the East or the West. In the sixth scriptures it said that world just manifests in the human body and is God the Guru. He says that way, he says that. Tenth Guru was asked, who is your Guru? He said, who was in the beginning, who is now, and who will live forever, even beyond, he is my Guru. So in which he manifests, he resides in every heart, but somewhere he manifests. The manifest of God in man is the Guru. We respect the body in which that is manifested, because on account of his guidance, as he gave you some examples of the aeroplane and other things, he tells us how to rise above body consciousness, how you are there to enliven your outer faculties with which you work. And you know yourself by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, how to rise above, and you get the demonstration of it, you see that power controlling in the universe. So who is a Guru? Who is world made flesh? The world is in him and he in the world. And who is following that path and teaches other paths the same, sit at his feet. So Master never says we are the Guru, we are. He simply says we are the messengers of God. Kabir said, I have come from the beyond, from the feet of the Master, of the God, and I have brought a message for you. He wants each children, each child to come back home. These were his words. Christ said, I came from the Father into the world. And again I leave the world and go to my Father. Are they not parents? Shamashta Bray said, in this man body the Son of God is manifest. So Bhulisha says, he took the form of a man and came here just to awaken the world. Children, you have been separated from God eons back. You have not yet been back to your true home. Come back. He sent us into the world. Someday we were in his lap. Ever since we have separated, we have been under the command of mind. And mind is under command of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties have driven us like anything to the outer enjoyments. We are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. When God sees the plight of our plight like that, we are very unhappy. So he takes the manifest in the form of a body, man body, and comes to open the door. come on, go back home. So Kabir says, with the outward eyes, Ram, God and Kabir appear to be two bodies. Only to those who have got no word made flesh to God. Who can take you to God? He has got no brother, no sister, no parents. If he wants somebody guides back to God, it means his ego in there, you see. So for that reason, you see, Master always come to guide us. This is, now remains what is function as you say. Somebody asked you yesterday, what is the function of a master? Namdev said that God has manifested in the body. Well, that very body is God. Vainand Lal, a great devotee of the 10th Guru, he annotates on a poem of Hafiz. Hafiz says, if you want to meet God, leave all house and home and the world and go to a wilderness. And Nandlal says, well, look here, here is the God standing before you, glorifying to his Guru. Why to go to the world if he's not here? He's here in everybody. Where he's manifested, go to his feet. So God is great, you see. Maharajum says, he says, I am so great that all my creation, all my universes that I've created, they are not sufficient to contain me. I alone. He says, but strange enough, I manifest the heart of a master. You want me, come out there. These are all things which go to show great is man. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is within me. The Father is within me and I am within the Father. Quite so. How clear was it? So my purpose is to lay before you that who is the master? What is their function? They come to make people see who do not see, and those who see to make them blind. When our attention is down from outside, all is down. It is our attention that sees all these things. When you put your whole attention within you, which is dark, that light source. So Guru is the Shabda, is the word made flesh, and is a link between man and God, and this link of Shabda, light within you. Who can do that, he is Godable, he is Godly Master. If people do not understand what the scriptures say about a master, just as without a pilot you cannot fly the aeroplane clear, 35,000 feet high. Without a guru, you cannot fly beyond the physical body. He gives a demonstration of that. So, what is the function of a master? Just to make you rise above body consciousness, give you contact with the light and sound principle of God. Nada, the voice of God, the music of the sphere. Where it could lead you, light in light will see where you are, and sound principle will be guiding you where to go. So Guru Nanak says, those who have got the perfect master, they are given in contact with the sound principle, which is the guiding principle, where to go. You have a sound, you hear some sound, and you naturally be drawn to the place from where that sound is coming. So this is direct way back to God. In this yoga, this is the natural yoga of the sound current. In this, no hypothesis required to be made. Direct way back to God. Because it gives you contact with the light and sound principle which emanates from the absolute God, wordless state.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Leslie McIntosh. Are you there, Leslie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, carry on.
This morning's reading will be The Night is a Jungle and Other Discourses of Kirpal Singh, Chapter 5, Guru, Guru Dev, and Satguru. We'll begin with Master's invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul. We invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. Chapter 5, The Night is a Jungle. I have heard that many have seen you, but actually none has known what you really are. O Satguru, myriads upon myriads of people greet you and bow in obeisance at your feet, but few recognize your greatness in the measure in which you may choose to reveal. Son knows the Father and those to whom the Son may reveal. He is a living embodiment of the Father of light, and it is only through his grace that he manifests this light of God in others. I shall now tell you what the Guru is. It is best to know of him from some Guru Mukh, that is, one who has become a mouthpiece of the Guru, for it is said, a prophet alone can recognize the prophet. All great masters the world over have presented the same eternal truth, each, of course, in his own inimitable way. They say that the divine power of God resides in every human heart, but the heart wherein it is manifested the most is worthy to be adored. A perfect living master is an embodiment of the power of God, and as such, he is much more than what he appears to be. He does live in the world, but it is not of the world, as the soul in him is in tune with the infinite. O Lalo, Nanak says, I do not speak anything on my own, but whatever I utter, I am inspired by him. Though physically he, like us, may look to be a denizen of this world, yet inwardly his soul is free from the shackles of mind and matter and is in perfect harmony with the universal life principle. All great masters bear testimony to the sublime truth. Who can give us the tidings of God? Who can unite us with the life, living lifelines as provided by him? Since he is peerless, self-created, and causeless, and the causeless cause, how can we possibly get to know him and realize him, and with whose help? It may therefore be taken for granted that merely by our own manifold efforts, we cannot get near him. If there is God, there must also be a God way, which in turn leads to the irresistible conclusion that there should be a God-man who has practiced God and is competent enough to lead us on the God path. Without such a human pole star, we cannot know of the pole. It is just plain talk. It does not involve any reasoning, nor is there any ambiguity about it. Sages and seers have always spoken in the third person for our guidance. Kabir says that he is conversant with the mysteries of the beyond and has brought a message from the Most High. My master, Hazar Sawant Singh Ji, also was a true messenger of God. If we were to hear directly such master souls, we would get from them sublime truths illustrative of their inner greatness. Once he said, "Whenever we come to this physical plane, we bring with us our own staff to work with us. When our work is finished on one side, we are deputed onto the other." You can well understand what this signifies. Similarly, all other masters in the past have said the same thing. The 10th Guru, Guru Gobind Singh, says, "Having become one with him, I had no intention whatsoever to come back to this world, but willy-nilly I was made to do so to fulfill the divine purpose." Christ also said the same thing. "I and my Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father." Guru Arjan says, "The Father and Son are dyed in the same color. The Father and Son have entered into a divine partnership." All masters have given their own version of the same thing. Shamsi Tabriz says, "Oh, people of the world, do not look at my tattered clothes. Just try to peep into the innermost recesses of my mind, and for then you will know of the vast kingdom of God to which I belong. Do not take me as a poor mendicant or a helpless being like yourself. I am much more than what I appear to be and am blessed with untold treasures of spiritual riches." Continuing in the same strain, he says, "We may be likened to an experienced physician. We need not feel the pulse or test the urine of the ailing patients, but through their eyes we look deeply into the deep-rooted maladies of the mind. We have with us a panacea for all ills of life and freely dispense the same." During my second tour in the USA, I happened to give a talk on Christmas Day. I told the congregation that Christ lived long before Jesus did. It is just 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into the world, but the Christ power was always working for the spiritual welfare of humanity at large. Significantly enough, Christ remarked, "I am that I am." The master soul never dies. It is eternally present from end to end. The great divine power, when manifested at some physical pole, is known as the living master. Just try to understand that Guru power is nothing but the power of God. In the Gurbani, it says, "He who is the ever-living God power is called a guru when it adopts some human pole for working in this world. Satguru is the great immaculate power. Do not mistake him for the human pole from which it works. The servant of Hari, or God, is like Hari himself. Please do not be mistaken by the physical raiment of the servant. As explained so many times, Hazur was the son of spirituality. He is ever with me and lives with me. The spiritual stalwarts come whenever the world is in need of them. Guru Nanak came when there was a tremendous rift between Hindus and Muslims. Kabir also came in the same period. Both of them preached, God is one and all mankind is one. All persons are in soul bodies. The soul is of the same essence as that of God. The various religious orders were set up for just one purpose, spiritual emancipation. But alas, they have degenerated into strong fetters and manacles for our hands and feet. We had started Godwards, but unfortunately got stuck fast on the way. We had entered into religious orders for God knowledge and God realizations, but became contented with the labeled liveries of socio-religious forms and formulas. The result is that we have failed hopelessly in our search for God. We had joined the different social orders just to equip ourselves for the realization of God, but sidestepped God and got engaged in internecine quarrels with each other in the blessed name of religion. Millions of people have been sacrificed on the altar of religions, of religious fanaticism. Hazur, too, came at a critical juncture when many sects at variance with each other were at loggerheads. Guru Nanak, when questioned as to who he was, replied, if I say that I am a Hindu, as apparently I happen to be with all the outer hallmarks of Hindus, you will surely kill me. But at the same time, I am not a Muslim either, in the sense in which you take it to mean by outer signs. My real character is that my physical being is made of five elements of nature, while within me, God's divine power is at work. As we are usually apt to forget this great lesson, the masters come to revive it as and when necessary. The first problem the masters tackle is to knit the children of God in the silken bonds of love, sacrifice, and service of one and all. They have to bring all children of God together to one common platform. My master came to the earth plane when there were many diverse sects in Christianity, Sikhism, Hinduism, Islam, and many other creeds. He delivered his message to the people to learn to sit together with love and to try to understand the basic concept of the one divinity that is working in the entire creation. In the Gurbani, it states that the wisdom of the seers is all alike. Those who have realized their own self regard all mankind as one. The various sects, creeds, and religions are like so many schools of thought and outward forms like so many hallmarks adopted by us. But all the time, in spite of these seeming differences, we are basically human beings, and the soul in man has the same attributes on a miniature scale as those of God. From this lofty viewpoint, all are alike. It was Hazur's great desire that there should be some common platform for teaching the science of the soul to all, despite differences in their outlook on world, color, or creed. Rouhani Satsang was the name suggested by Hazur for such a forum. He was a Jivan Mukt, a liberated master soul, and had come for the liberation of humanity. It was once suggested to Hazur that he should form a distinct sect or religious order dealing exclusively with spirituality. You will be surprised to know how gracefully he replied, "What earthly good will it do to dig more wells where too many already exist?" All that was needed at the moment was to find out the water of life already referred to in various scriptures. Truth or divinity is already existing in man, and those who have realized it say the same thing. But those who have not seen the reality are vainly engaged in fighting the varying ideological beliefs and doctrines. The principal aspect of his teachings was that we should be able to sit together in love for understanding the divinity which forms the common bedrock for humanity. We are already one and must try to know the one in us. We are blessed with the same type of eyes, ears, hands, feet, etc. And from the level of the soul, we are also one. The God we worship is also one for the whole human race. He is the Lord of us all. As we are likely to lose sight of this fundamental truth, the masters come from time to time to revive it. So the first lesson which we get from the master is that we should, while remaining in our respective religions, strive to realize our true self, and then realize the self of the universe, and finally the great truth, which is the very life of all creation. To find this truth, it is necessary that we should know what is true living. Guru Nanak says, "True living is higher than knowing the truth." A truly blessed life, flavored with divine love, is above everything else. Such a life is conducive to spiritual uplift. Just as an electric bulb, when clean and neat, sheds clear light, so does a life free from all blemishes. The purity of life, or man-making, as it is called, was the outer work which my master accomplished, and it is admittedly the only way that leads to the welfare of humanity and prepares the way for spiritual development. It is spirituality alone that offers any hope for the security of man. I once happened to talk with Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, the first Prime Minister of India. He listened to me with rapt attention for about 50 minutes, and since then, in his speeches, he used to emphasize that spirituality was the only common ground where mankind could live in peace and amity. Spirituality, then, is the only remedy for all ills of mankind and leaders of all thoughts, social, political, or religious, could derive their inspiration from it. We are all worshipers of one God. As men, we are all alike. It is on this common ground that we can meet, irrespective of differences in religious creeds and beliefs, social customs and living habits, which are of little consequence. The Rig Veda exhorts us to participate in congregational prayers in which thousands may join to glorify the Lord. This great lesson of the Vedas has once again been revived by the great Master Hazur. It is not something new. It is the ancient science. Since we had forgotten it, he came to remind us of it. Historically, the Vedas, which contain the wisdom of the ages, are the oldest of all scriptures, whereas the Guru Granth Sahib is the latest compendium incorporating the teachings of as many great souls of different times and climes as could possibly be collected at that time. We have great respect for all who have enriched our spiritual heritage and have left for our guidance a valuable record of their personal experiences with the great self within. All great masters have, in fact, said the same thing, of course, in their own language. The Holy Quran says that God sent his prophets to different parts of the world. A true Muslim is one who believes in all the messiahs of God. Similarly, a real Sikh is one who accepts the teachings of all masters as recorded in the Guru Granth Sahib, a veritable banquet hall of spirituality. If this divine message is carried to all, then peace and harmony will reign supreme in all homes, societies, and countries. In my second tour of the West, I had an opportunity to meet political leaders of different shades of opinion, and I always dwelt on the principle of live and let others live. God had put so many children of his in their loving care, and it was their duty to serve them as best they could. If one country could not, for one reason or another, properly look after the welfare of its people and attend to their legitimate needs, let others extend their helping hand to them. Why resort to violence and the shed of blood of millions of his creatures? By the grace of God, the timely realization of this basic truth actually helped in preventing a crisis on two different occasions when things were getting out of hand. I received an SOS from a third place as well. I am placing these facts before you just to stress the importance of spiritual unity, which is the only way out of our present difficulties, as it will enable us to get nearer to each other and be able to solve our problems. But here, there is one difficulty: differences in views and cross purposes. Guru Arjun has therefore suggested a remedy. Let us put our heads together and in a spirit of friendliness, iron out all of our differences with a determined will born of burning faith in God. Just learn to sit together in love, leaving aside all thoughts of duality, for we all are children of God. Do we not worship one God who is God of all? Though our modes of worship may be different according to the environments in which we are born and brought up. When we are already one on the common ground of spirituality, like rosary beads of different designs and colors, then where is the scope for conflict? The Gurbani tells us, "Let us get united in the name of the Lord, for we are not apart from him." So this is the way that leads to unity in diversity. For diversity circles around the center, the unchangeable permanence. Guru Arjan has also emphasized, sit together, shoulder to shoulder, in the company of one who has become Guru Mukh. Guru Mukh means the mouthpiece of the Guru, who is the human pole from which the God, the power of God works. I would like to stress the importance of spiritual understanding. Kabir says, in this world there is none more munificent than the Guru. In fact, he alone is the giver of all gifts. The blessings of the Master are indeed very precious. Let us see what he actually bestows upon the disciple. Gurbani says, Satguru has granted me a priceless boon, the holy Nam, and has explained to me the mysteries of the beyond. This is something which lies beyond the pale of the senses, mind, and intellect. He alone is in a position to grant such a boon, and no one else can, for none can give what he does not have himself. It is something which one cannot acquire by mere learning and wisdom or by study of the scriptures. Who else could give the wonderful gift of the power of God? We find also in the Gurbani, he grants us his own life impulse and makes manifest the saving lifelines within. Who can do this? None but a polarized God on earth. Guru Arjan also says like this, having manifested himself in the Master, he himself distributes the holy Shabd. On the one hand, there is the absolute God, and on the other is the power of God, or God in action. And unless the power of God becomes manifest in us, we cannot possibly have a contact with God. As it is the living Master who can grant us this contact, his importance, to begin with, surpasses that of God himself. Though the two are but one and the same, yet in finite terms, we have to differentiate between the two. Kabir says, when the Master and the Lord both are standing before me, to whom should I offer my obeisance? Definitely, I will bow to the Master who has been the means of uniting me with the Lord. God the Absolute is an abstraction which no one has and can know, and hence we can bow only to the personified God where God's power works. Just as there is a powerhouse which you have not seen, but you see in your house a small switch which serves your purpose. Similarly, the living Master is in possession of all the divine virtues and powers granted to him by the absolute God for the spiritual welfare of humanity. Thus, it is quite clear that we have to adore a living Master, for the physical body of the Master is superbly divine, having been made by invisible hands for a specific purpose, to work through him in bringing about a union of human souls with himself. If with all this we still regard the Guru just as any one of us on the human level, it is our misfortune. Kabir says those who take the Master as nothing more than a mere human being will come again and again in lower forms of creation. Again, he says, Kabir's mind has become so subtle and pure that even the Lord is now after him. One whose mind is pure and intellect is at rest will surely reflect the light of God. We are to be worshipers of the light of life, no matter to which social religion we owe allegiance. Every religion speaks of this truth. Guru Gobind Singh tells us, In whom the light of God shines in its fullness, he alone is Khalsa, the pure in heart. Khalsa is my own form, and I reside in him. Khalsa is the true master, all-powerful. When such great souls come, their mission in life is to unite all mankind in one great family of God. One who views all beings from the soul level is really a great master, for God works through him. What does he give after all? He gives something which the senses cannot comprehend. We have to find out such a guru who can do this. This quest is one of the supreme importance for all of us, irrespective of sex. The physical relationship between man and woman ends with the holy wedlock. Next comes the spiritual relationship, the wedlock of the soul, whether of male or female, with the oversoul. The scriptures tell us that Parvati, the consort of Shiva, accepted Narada as her guru. Sita, the consort of Rama, took Anusyai as her guru. Those who consider that there is no necessity of a guru for women are mistaken. Both men and women do need a guru for the emancipation of their souls from the meshes of mind and matter. The spirit of each one of us cries for liberation, no matter in what bodily raiment it may be clothed. And we'll conclude our reading for today at this point.
Thank you, Leslie, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 66 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.